how would you like to discover the longevity formula? Stanley Bronstein will tell us how to do this. And what's so special about Stanley is he's an attorney, CPA, life coach, and author who has lived a transformation most people believe is impossible, and then turned it into two clear, teachable systems that people can actually use. So, Stanley, tell us about the longevity formula and what's the blueprint for someone to live as long as possible?
Healed podcast with Lily Patrasco shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest, best life ever. Shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's a formula that I'm still constantly revising as I'm going along in my life. And it's a formula that I've discovered through experience and through a lot of research and, you know, but hands-on experience. I used to weigh 367 pounds many years ago at one time. I was a big boy. I'm only 5'7". Today, I'm about 145. So one of the things I've discovered is that if you have a lot of excess weight, getting the weight off helps increase your chances of living longer. That's one thing I've discovered. But the way I've done this, I did it with no drugs or no surgeries. I did it mostly with getting my head on straight because, first of all, I think health in general, longevity in general, all of it, it's 90% between your ears. Or to put it a different way, let me back up. A lot of medical experts have told me your health, how healthy you're going to be, how long you're going to live. It's 10% genetics, 10% what happens to you. I mean, you can be walking across the street and get hit by a truck. And it's 80% what you do to yourself and for yourself. So the first key is focus on what you can control. And what you can control is what you do for and to yourself. That's the first thing. My story is weight loss. That's my journey. And obviously, I think achieving a healthy weight if you don't already have it and maintaining a healthy weight is an important part of this whole thing. But some people don't need that. That's not their issue. That's not their problem. And all I'm going to say is keep listening anyway, because all these things I'm going to be talking about apply to you anyway. This whole thing I put together is a system that you can customize to whatever your needs are to take care of things. So now, things I recommend. I'm all about healthy nutrition. And to me, healthy nutrition is not just the food you put in your mouth. It's the thoughts you put in your head. It's the environment you create around yourself. It's the people you surround yourself with. It's the things you do. It's the things you don't do. It's all those things. It's what I'll put it a different way. I've created something that I call a filter of excellence, where you determine that you're only going to let you, imagine you have a filter surrounding you and you're only going to let excellent stuff come in. You want to filter out as much noise, much nonsense. And this incredible, wonderful, great world we live in is full of lots of noise and nonsense, in addition to all kinds of great things. So what you're putting in your body and what you're putting in your head and everything else. When I started my journey, my weight loss happened in two phases. This picture when I was at my largest was like 30 something years ago, when I was about 31, 32 years old. I lost some weight. I kept 47 pounds off from this picture, but I got back up to 320 as I was turning 50, which was 17 years ago. February 1st, 2009, I remember the day. I call it my rebirth day. And I just celebrated my 17th rebirth day 9 days ago. Now, I weighed 320 pounds at the time. I was 4 months away from my 50th birthday. And like many people, men, women, everybody, when you're getting ready to hit a milestone age, you start asking yourself, what have I done and where am I going to be in the future? Well, I asked myself, where am I going to be in 5 years if I stay on my present course? And I didn't like the answer. Would you care to guess what the answer was? Dead. Absolutely. Dead. And I didn't want to be dead. So I said, I turned to my wife and I said, I'm done. I'm cooked. Now, I won't say I hit rock bottom. I hadn't hit rock bottom. I hadn't had a heart attack yet. Hadn't had a stroke yet. You know, all those things. But those things were all coming. So that's a lesson right there. You can change your life. You don't have to wait to hit rock bottom to change your life. You can do it beforehand. Now, it took me 49 and a half years to get to the point where I was serious about changing my life. Now, the question is, did it take me 49 and a half years to change my life, or did I change my life in an instant? And what I like to say is it took me 49 and a half years to reach the point where I changed my life in an instant. So what I do now with everything I put together is I help people learn how to skip the 49 and a half year process and just change your life in an instant. Now, so I right away, I did, everything I did was gradual. It was in steps. I didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to do everything I'm doing today. I mean, I would have laughed if I told myself I was going to do, if I told you my day, when I tell you my daily workout and my daily routine, I would have laughed 17 years ago if you told me this is who I was going to be and what I was going to do, because I wouldn't have been able to do it. But over time, I built up to it. Now, first thing I did, I quit drinking alcohol. I was drinking scotch every day. Was I an alcoholic? I don't know. But I do know that I was serving the alcohol and it was not serving me, and that I was drinking too much. So I believe in symbolism. I took my last bottle of scotch, opened up the toilet, poured it down the toilet, hit flush. Gone. No more scotch. Haven't had it in 17 years. Don't miss it. Then those 2-liter bottles of soda pop. I was drinking 3 of those a day. But they were diet caffeine free. So surely they were healthy, right? No, they were not. Took my last bottle, opened up the toilet, poured it down the toilet, hit flush. Then I said, I want to make some dietary changes. I didn't consider those two changes dietary, even though they sort of were, but I didn't change that. So I said, I'm going to quit eating beef and pork. I'm going to quit eating red meat. I've always loved chicken and turkey. So I figured I'll eat chicken and turkey and I'll be fine. I don't need the red meat. So I quit that. And when you consider that my father was a butcher and I grew up in a home with unlimited free meat, that was quite an accomplishment to quit eating red meat, but I did. And I started walking every day. In the beginning, I could only walk 2 or 3 blocks. Then I got the idea to go to the gym in the middle of the night. I would go to the pool and I would walk up and down laps in the pool. And I did it for 30 minutes, then an hour, and then 2 hours, and then 3 hours. I started building it up because it didn't tear my body up. By the time I reached my 50th birthday, which was 4 or 5 months later, I had lost about 50 pounds. So I was on my way. I was down to about 270 or so. Still a pretty big boy, but I was doing better. I kept going, kept going, kept going. And after about 5 years, I said, I'm ready to make another push. I want to do better than I can do. So I quit eating chicken and turkey. I kept eating eggs. I kept eating dairy. Essentially, I went vegetarian. And I got stronger, more capacity. My walking activity increased. I chart all my walking activity. I have it. And on my website, there's a chart that shows my annual walking totals. And you can see my totals, you know, has gradually increased. Then 5 years of that, 10 years into the whole, or 9 years into the whole program, I was stuck at 180 pounds. I couldn't lose any more weight. But I was walking 10 to 15 miles every day. I'm not kidding. 10 to 15 miles every day. Just so you know, if you want to know, here's my step count for the day so far. 33,000 some odd. So I do a lot of walking every day. But I couldn't get below 180 pounds. So I said, there's still something wrong with my diet. Well, I gave up butter, cheese, and ice cream. 3 lovely things that everybody loves to eat. Butter, including me. Butter, cheese, and ice cream. Essentially, I went vegan. I was still eating processed foods, but I went vegan. And you know what happened? I lost 50 pounds in like 5 minutes. I mean, I literally melted. So I got the rest of my weight off of me, and I've been able to maintain it ever since. Now, over time, I have gradually refined my eating habits to where now I no longer eat any processed foods. I have discovered certain grains and things that I eat that have tons of protein in them. Lots of different choices. I have my newest project. You may be able to see that's my hydroponic garden that I have going in my office. It's kind of hard to see it, but I've got a hydroponic garden going. So I'm eating homegrown salads, except for the tomatoes. Haven't been successful in growing those yet. And so that's one thing. Second thing, movement. You got to have movement. If you want to live a long time, you need to keep moving. My philosophy is that as long as you're moving, you're not dead. Think about that. As long as you're moving, you're not dead. So I picked, when I started 17 years ago, I picked walking as my exercise of choice. Now I did that because it doesn't need a lot of special equipment. You can do it almost anywhere, almost anytime. And I figured it would beat up my body less than other activities. And so I said, I'm going to start trying to walk every day. And little did I realize how prophetic my words were. Now, I'm going to, before I tell you how much walking I do, I want to tell you what I advocate for people who are getting started. Because when I tell you how much walking I do, you're going to go, I can't do that. So I'm going to tell you a good place to start first. If you want to get healthier, you want to live longer, start with doing four things. First thing is, eat less processed food, less junk food. Now, I'm not saying totally eliminate it. I'm not saying never go to McDonald's. I'm not saying never eat a piece of pie. I'm not saying never eat a hamburger. I'm saying eat less of it. Me, I no longer eat those things, but that's because I tell people I've already had my lifetime share of that stuff. I don't need it anymore. But so less of that. So less junk food. Second thing, quit eating 4 or 5 hours before you go to sleep. That way you give your body a chance to digest the food you're eating. So you add that 4 or 5 hours plus the 8 hours you sleep. That gives your body time to process this food. It helps you start a process that's known as autophagy, where your body cleanses out its cells and helps regenerate. So that's much better. And don't eat before you go to sleep. My grandfather used to say, don't eat before you go to sleep. And we didn't believe, my father and I didn't believe him, and we did it anyway. But it turns out he was right. And I wish he was here so I could tell him that. But don't eat before you go to sleep. Third thing, walk 20 minutes a day. 20 minutes. The American College of Sports Medicine recommends that you get 150 minutes of aerobic activity a week. If you do 20 minutes a day, 7 times a week, that's 140 minutes. That's close enough. So, and you don't even have to walk fast. I walk at 2.25 miles an hour. I don't walk fast, but I walk and walk and walk and I don't. Now, the fourth thing I recommend you do is that you start a daily practice where you take at least 15 minutes a day and you devote it to yourself. You know, and that might be sitting in a quiet chair. If you know how to meditate, it might be meditating. If not, just sit quietly and think and breathe. But 15 minutes for yourself. I don't care how busy you are. I don't care how many children you have. Even if you're taking care of a sick parent, if you're doing something, if you are able-bodied, you should be able to find 15 minutes a day. If you can find more, wonderful. But do the best you can. And if you can only find 10 minutes, do 10 minutes. Because that's another thing about this whole process. The goal is not perfection. The goal is excellence. You are going to make mistakes in this process. I can promise you, I made plenty of them. Mistakes are proof that you're trying. It's okay. You are a human being. There are no perfect human beings. There have not been any perfect human beings. You're not going to be the first. I can promise you. Trust me, I tried to be perfect and it didn't work. I was a 367-pound perfectionist, if you can believe that. There's something kind of wrong with that, a little hypocritical there, but it doesn't work. So there are two tricks to this process. Get started and never stop. If you have a bad day, start again the next day. If you make a mistake, learn from the mistake, start again the next day. Do not stop. Do not quit. See, the old you and the old me, I would mess up. I quit. And guess what? I didn't get the results I wanted. The new me that was born, reborn on, and I didn't even realize a lot of these things at the time I was doing it. You know, these are things I figured out afterwards when I tried to analyze what I did. And I realized that, you know, I make mistakes, but don't stop. Just keep going, keep going, keep going. And that's what I did. Now, this experience taught me two things, and it led me to ask myself one question. First thing it taught me was that I am more powerful than I ever imagined. I have gone from a person who used to weigh 367 pounds to a person who walks 10 to 15 miles every day, who last year at the age of 66 walked 5,166 miles. Imagine I started in Los Angeles. I came within 300 miles of London. And it's a good thing I know how to swim because I ended up in the middle of the Atlantic. I didn't quite make it to London, but I did that. Since that day, I have walked 72,000 miles. That's 30% of the way to the moon. If you take the Earth at the equator, I see you laughing. If you take the Earth at the, believe me, I laugh about it too. If you take the Earth at the equator, I've gone around the globe 2.92 times. And at my present pace, I'm going to break it. I'm going to hit three in June or July. Now, that's why I told you, I recommend you just do 20 minutes a day. If you can do more, great. You don't have to do what I do. But do you know why I do what I do? Because I have discovered that I am more powerful than I ever imagined. That in many ways, I am limitless. I walk this much because I can. And I'm fortunate that I've been able to intentionally build a balanced lifestyle for myself. And I work for myself from home. I have a computer on my treadmill, so I can get on my treadmill and I can walk while I'm working and everything else. I do it because I can. I want to see what my limits are. I haven't found them yet. And that's good. You know, I want to keep going.
Can I ask now, you, how do you know that all of these steps will actually lead to longevity?
There is no guarantee. There is no guarantee. All I know is that I just went to the doctor 3-4 weeks ago and had my annual physical. My blood work numbers were off the charts in a good way. I will put my blood work numbers against any 30-year-old, and I suspect they will beat most 30-year-olds. I feel like I'm 35, maybe 30 or 35, except I wasn't in this good of shape when I was 30 or 35. I feel like I have gotten younger. You know, biologically, no. I mean, chronologically, no. Biologically, definitely, yes. But there is no guarantee. You know, I have a saying. I plan to live forever or die trying.
You know, my mom, she is 66. And mm-hmm. I have this scale that measures the metabolic age.
Yes.
And some other numbers that I can't remember right now. But I remember that it says her metabolic age is 18. And mine says 50 because they stopped counting at 50. And I'm actually 44, you know. And she used to be an athlete when she was young, and then engineer, and then fitness instructor at some point. And I mean, she is, you know, very slim, very active. She runs every day. She does exercise every day. She eats healthy. She stays off processed stuff. She does a lot of the stuff that you do. And she is ultra energetic, like you and I put together times 10 kind of thing. So I'm wondering whether you use any sort of like gadgets, like red light therapy or any other gadgets, or apart from all the techniques that you mentioned.
Okay, here's the thing. Here's things I do. I take a lot of, various things that I've found work well for me to, you know, and I do my blood work every 6 months intentionally so that I can establish a baseline and then monitor where I am at just to make sure everything is good. Like, for example, I was a year ago, I was taking a kelp supplement to get more iodine. And then when I did my blood work, lo and behold, I saw my thyroid numbers were off because I was getting too much iodine. So I stopped taking the kelp supplement because I was monitoring what I was doing. And over time, it adjusted to where everything's nice and normal again. Also, I take B12 because if you're vegetarian, I'm sorry, if you're vegan, you need to take a B12 supplement because that's one vitamin that you cannot get in plants. Everything else you can pretty much get. And a lot of people who say you need protein, 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 so you need to eat animals. Well, where do you think the animals get the protein from? They get it from eating plants. All you're doing is if you're eating plants, you're cutting out the middleman, literally. So that's another thing I do. Okay, other things I do, those inversion machines that flip you upside down? I've been you they're machines. You strap your ankles in and you flip up backwards and you hang upside down. Kind of like you're probably too young. If you ever saw the Munsters, Grandpa and the Munsters used to hang from the rafters upside down and spread his bat wings. Anyway, it was funny. Anyway. But it helps keep my back in shape. I stretch every day, but it helps me. Like I get through at the end of a day, you might feel a little beat up and tired before I go to sleep. I get on there, my whole back loosens up, everything moves around. It's like going to the chiropractor every day without having to pay the chiropractor. And I've been doing that for, probably close to 40 years in one form or another. And I think that has definitely helped me because I think as much because as you get older, you tend to slouch forward more. And that helps you reduce from doing that. Plus, it relieves the stresses from all the walking I do because it's pounding. Any kind of exercise you do, it's pounding.
Can I ask you
Go
one
ahead.
question about how do you protect, for example, your knees and your joints from injury? Because I think that after like 40, the biggest danger about the kind of prevents people from longevity is actually breaking, breaking a bone or, or having some bone, some knee problem. And I remember reading an article which mentioned that as soon as people have an injury, especially after 60, 65, they are not likely to live too long because they are immobile, then they become too chubby, and then they struggle to kind of get to their, I don't know, supermarket or to different, maybe they don't have any caregivers, any people looking after them. So it's like the whole thing starts to work against them. Just the fact that they have like a knee injury prevents them from doing so many different things. So how do you prevent injuries so you can live like a longer life? Are you putting anything in place for that?
Yes, first of all, you're correct. Second of all, what you describe especially affects women as they get older because they tend to be prone to osteoporosis, due to hormonal changes as they go through menopause. One of my experts, a woman named Irene McCormick, who I work with on my weight loss website, that's her specialty. She calls herself the menopause mentor, and she works with women to help them, deal with the osteoporosis issues. She works with my wife, every week, and has been doing that for a while. So that's one thing. You need to maintain strength training. Because what happens is your bone, especially women, you start to lose calcium and your bones become more brittle and you become more prone to, first of all, if you don't exercise as much, your balance gets off and you become more prone to falling in the first place. And then when you fall, if you have osteoporosis, you're more prone to having a bone break, which starts the problem. I mean, I remember my mother-in-law, she had her first bad fall when she was about 87 or something like that, and she died at 91. It took three falls to take her out, but it got progressively worse. And you want to avoid that if possible. So first, resistance training. Do it. At least three times a week. First thing, even with just dumbbells, kind of thing, or go to the gym, join a gym, but some kind of resistance training. So, and there's a lot of free fitness classes. There's an app that you can put on your TV or on your phone. It's called FitOn, FitOn. FitOn. They have free classes. Now, you'll get a few ads during the middle of the classes unless you buy a paid membership, but it's free. So you can take classes from home. You can sit there and do it. Now, second thing is nutrition. My wife has seen my nutritional habits over the years, and I've slowly over time gotten her to eat more and more healthy. and eat less junk. Nutrition is so important to your body. It is the fuel that will help your body heal itself and fix itself up. She's been going through this. She's been the last year. She's been on a big program with Irene, who I mentioned, and learning to eat better. And she has improved quite a bit. She's 63. So, you know, so you have, you know, those are things. There are, like I said before, there are no guarantees. What you want to do is you want to reduce your risk factors. You want to become as strong as you can, train as much as you can, walk every day, eat healthy 100% of the time. I have a book that's available for free on my website. It's called The Case for Eating Healthy 100% of the Time. Now, I told you before, when you're getting started out, if you want to just do it a little bit better, that's okay. But if you really want to get going, I recommend 100% of the time. Go all in. And the reason why I say that is when you go all in, it becomes easier. I'll give you an example. We were walking in the neighborhood 2 days ago. One of my neighbors comes out with 2 pieces of key lime pie. Somebody gave her a bunch of limes and she made key lime pie. She said, "Do you want some?" And she said, "Stanley, I know you're not going to eat it," because she knows how I eat. And my wife said, "Yeah, I'll take one piece." But the thought of eating that pie never entered my mind. I was not tempted the least bit to eat the pie because I am 100% committed that only healthy food is going to enter my mouth. And part of it is, and I don't feel like I've given up anything, because to be quite frank with you, I've already had my lifetime share of key lime pie and yours and probably 20 other people's. I didn't get to 367 pounds by accident. It was hard work. Trust me. I had to eat a lot. So, and another thing I've learned is you can taste food without putting it in your mouth. When I had that pie, I smelled it. I was able to identify most of the ingredients in the pie, the sugar, the lime, you know, whatever. And I said, "That tastes good." And then I didn't eat it. Same thing works with cigarettes. If you want to quit smoking cigarettes, pull the cigarette out of your pack, out of the pack, look at it, imagine, "I know what this tastes like. I know what it feels like to smoke it. I've smoked a million of them. That was good." And then put it back in the pack and don't smoke it. Same thing if you're an alcoholic and you want to quit drinking. Take a look at the drink. "I know what this tastes like. I know what it feels like. I know what it's going to do to me. I don't need it. Put it back." You know, thank you. Same. Yeah.
Is there anything that you've put in place to protect your back, for example, so that you can actually exercise but still kind of protect your back from injury?
The primarily the thing I use is the back machine, the inversion machine that I told you about. That keeps everything limber and loose. My brother, my older brother, who's 81 and in excellent shape, he doesn't have a back machine. He doesn't use a back machine, but he does Pilates and he stretches every day. He does all these things at home and his back is just fine. It's all about movement. You know, I believe in keeping it simple, but it's moving. Gentle, easy movements every day. Consistency. That's where the power comes in. See, we're talking about longevity here. I have a book on my website that all these things are free. These are all my gifts to you. And the fact that I'm giving you these things for free tells you that I'm not trying to sell you something. I'm not trying to sell you a bill of goods. I'm saying this because I care and I'm at a place in my life where I can do this. The book is called The Way of the Long Term. It's realize that life is a long-term game. It's all, and the problem is we live in a short-term world. You've got Alexa, answers any question. You know, Siri, answers any question. Uber, delivers everything you want immediately. Amazon Prime, get it today or tomorrow, whatever. Everything is instant. Fast food all over the place. It's all instant. And that's fine if you use it properly. See, I used to go to Chinese buffets almost every day. And I would eat, and I would pig out and I would eat lunch. Well, that in the short term, that satisfied me. But in the long term, it was killing me. As I like to say, I was committing slowly eating myself to death. And realize repeated short-term discipline brings long-term rewards. That's where all the power is. Remember I said before, get started and never stop. That's where your power comes from. When you do that, you will discover something. You will discover you are indeed more powerful than you ever imagined. That's the second thing I discovered. Not only am I more powerful than I ever imagined, so is everyone else. I am no more special than you. You are no more special than me. We are all special. And the third thing, the question it led me to ask, and a question that I'm going to ask you, is once I realized that I'm more powerful than I ever imagined, I said, what else is out there waiting for me to do that I haven't done yet that I should be doing? And that's everything we're talking about today is what I should be doing. I should be helping educate other people. It's the reason I went through all of these things, all these experiences. Would I change things in my life if I could? Yes, I would. But do I regret anything I went through or I put myself through? No, because it was necessary to teach me what I have learned and to turn me into the person I am today, who is now in a position to help other people do what I did in a way that works for them much faster and much easier.
Thank you. Can I ask you, how long did it take you to go from 367 pounds to 145 pounds?
Okay, like I said, I lost it in two phases. Okay, the 367 to 320. Okay, when I was 367, I lost 100 pounds on Weight Watchers. I didn't do it. I didn't learn how to eat healthy. I just learned, basically, I learned portion control is what I learned, but I was still eating processed food and all that. So I got down to about 265 or something like that. Then I went back to my old habits and I got all the way back up to 320 over time. But the reason I never got back to my full 367 is because I did make one permanent change. And that change was I used to get up in the middle of the night and eat a full meal in the middle of the night. When I did Weight Watchers, I learned to stop eating a full meal in the middle of the night. And the way I did that was I would wake up in the night, I would go to my freezer, I would pull out a Weight Watchers entree, I would look at the picture on the box, I would imagine what it tasted like, because I'd had a million of them, I knew what it tasted like. And I said, that was good. And then I put it back in the freezer and went to sleep. So I broke myself from that habit. So then, you know, and that was when I was in my 30s. So then go all the way to my 50s, you know, getting ready to turn 50, I was still 320. Then from that time, over the course of probably, you know, 12, maybe 13 years, I have to look it up and see the exact numbers. I got the rest of it off, and I actually got down into my I got down to my 130s, but I was too small. But I had to do that to get the fat off of my body and without surgery. Then over time, I put 15 pounds or so back on of muscle, not fat. So the answer is it was a slow process.
Can I ask you, for example, because I don't see you having like a lot of droopy skin and so on. How did you manage to,
This is the droopiest of my skin.
Yeah, so how did you manage to not have droopy skin? Because I think people that I've seen that kind of lose a dramatic weight from a, you know, really chubby to like, you know, normal weight, they tend to have like really droopy, skaggy skin, and they literally start looking worse than they were when they were actually chubby.
You've been watching my 600-pound life. Anyway, the way to do it, I did it slowly. And I did it and I exercised all along the way, and I changed my nutritional habits. I didn't go for the quick fix. I didn't take the weight loss drugs, although back then, I mean, there were drugs, but they weren't pushing them as much. I didn't go for the surgery. I didn't go for bariatric surgery. I did it slowly over time. My body tightened up along the way. I was pleasantly surprised. I don't have a lot of droopy skin. I really don't. And, you know, but, you know, I mean, I have a teeny bit around my gut. And the question is, could I go get surgery to take that off? I could, but I don't want to. It's fine, doesn't bother me, not hurting anybody. And it's not bad, but not at all. But I just, you know, not worried about it. So
can I ask you the impact of that on your wife and, you know, like your family, your friends?
My relationship.
Yeah, was there an impact that you saw instantly in terms of like did it impact them in terms of like their food habits or like their perception of you or anything else that you thought was actually uplifting you as well? Because I think, for example, I had like a haircut in September, you know, and it was a really horrible haircut. And for a really long time, I felt like really depressed about it. And I felt really down about it. And I think that, you know, like sometimes your own opinion of yourself can impact everyone else so much. And even though you can say that wherever I traveled, people were still like coming to me and talk to me and so on, but I felt ugly. So it's like sometimes when you feel really horrible about yourself, you are almost like giving a perception of yourself that is,
Sure you are. Sure you are.
you know, and
First
then.
of all, newsflash, you're not ugly, but you're not at all. And you have a wonderful smile. So that's a compliment.
Thank you.
Now, I understand the question. I understand what you're saying. Yes, it does have an impact. It's part of my system. One of the elements of my system, it's number 13, is respect. And it's respect for others, but it's also respect for yourself. I used to complain that I didn't get as much respect from people as I thought I should, all while I was walking around at 300 plus pounds. So I was outwardly showing people that on some level, I didn't respect myself enough to take care of myself. And is it any wonder I didn't get the respect I wanted from others? Well, guess what? Over time, as I've lost weight, I have gained tremendous respect from others. People want to know what it is I'm doing. They talk to me all the time. I mean, I remember, going to a family function a couple of years ago where there were people who hadn't seen me in 15 years. And I walked in and they just went, they couldn't believe it. And that was a good feeling. But it does have an impact. In my neighborhood, there are 78 houses in my neighborhood. I probably have discussed nutrition with probably 20 people who live in this neighborhood. Probably brought food that I've made to probably 15 people in this neighborhood, trying to get them to eat healthier and teach them things. And I'll give you an example. There's a cardiac surgeon who lives in my neighborhood, good friend of mine. We were out on a walk one day and we talked about nutrition. Guess what happened after I discussed nutrition with him? He lost 30 pounds. Duh. So it does have an impact. And just on the opposite end, if you're a downer, if you have a bad attitude, it can rub off on people and it can affect people. That's Zig Ziglar, who again is before your time. He used to call that stinking thinking. And it is. It's real. Start using the word can, stop using the word can't. Start focusing on the positive. Stop focusing on the negative. Start focusing on the good. Stop focusing on the bad. So it's what do you tell yourself? See, you didn't like your haircut. Well, and you felt ugly and you felt bad. Well, there's two ways of looking at that. I got a crappy haircut. I don't like this. I look like hell. Or I got a crappy haircut. I don't like this. It's going to grow back. Ha ha, I'm wonderful. Let's go get them anyway. It's how you look at it. It's your perspective. It's all in how you look at it. If you focus on what you don't like, you're going to get more of what you don't like. There's a thing called, I talk about in my system, it's called the law of expansion. What you focus on is going to expand in your life.
Thank you. I
Does
was
that
going
make
to say,
sense?
yes, I was going to say that I felt really bad about my hair for many months and I was depressed about it. And every time I was looking in the mirror and I really hated myself. And then what I decided to do 3 days ago is to get hair extensions. And now I love my hair again. And I realized actually sometimes the best solutions are quite simple and they are not that expensive, you know? And all of a
Yeah.
sudden I'm great again. Like I feel really awesome. And although I understand it's like I don't like fake stuff, but I think it's a wonderful solution, a temporary solution that I really, really adore. And now I feel great again about my hair. But the other thing I was going to ask is, how were you able
to put up with the shame, the guilt, the bad looks, perhaps. Because, you know, I find that I'm a little bit chubby right now, okay? But I've never felt like, oh my God, I'm gross. You know what I mean? Like when I go to the gym or when I go anywhere, like men still, you know, stare at me because they like what they see, right? But I think
good,
that you are like ultra, when you're like ultra chubby, you know, like when you're finding it hard to actually move. And I think that it can be embarrassing actually to go to the gym. It can be, because you get the stares, and it's hard even perhaps to move in certain cases when the weight is like so big.
It is.
I'm wondering, how do you get the mindset, the courage, the determination to actually continue, you know, like going for a walk despite the stares, despite the fact that perhaps you look horrible in a swimming suit and maybe you don't, a lot of people don't go to the gym because they're embarrassed. They look really bad in a
especially outfit. Women, especially women.
Especially women, yes.
Okay. Gay, can I share with you my experience when I started? I'm going to backtrack. When I started February 1st, 2009, I'm going to start with the conversation I had with my wife. I said, I'm going to make some changes in my life. You might like them and you might not like them. And if you don't like them, I don't care. And I also told her, I'm going on a journey. I'm inviting you to come along with me. And I hope you do. But if you don't, there's the door. You can walk out right now. Seriously, I told her that. And spoiler alert, we're still married. So, you know, and we get along very well. But, you know, but I told her that. You have to, that was what I call a moment of healthy selfishness. You know, forgive me for my word here. Who gives a rat's ass if somebody doesn't like the way you look? To hell with them. The question is, you're working on it. You're a work in progress. You know, admire yourself. Be proud of yourself. Think highly of yourself. You know, and know that over time, you're gonna get better. This is a long-term thing you're doing. To hell with anybody else, what they think. And while you're at it, pay attention to what you think, you know, about yourself. Don't be that person. Now, as far as the shame, okay, I cost myself many relationships over the years. Dating relationships in high school, college, girls I wanted to marry who didn't want to marry me. They instead, you know, they'd meet me and they'd put me in the brother box. And they would sit there and say, oh, you're the brother I never had. You know, great. You know, don't want to marry you. I want to hang around you all the time, but don't want to marry you. You know, I had one tell me, I love your brain, but she didn't like anything else. It'd be very easy to feel shameful about what I put myself through and what I did. Now, let me ask you a question. Okay. This is part three of my system, 20-part system. And all this stuff's on my website. So when I get through at the end, I'm going to tell you how to go. Everybody can go to this who's listening. I took personal responsibility for my situation. I didn't blame my father. My mother died when I was 8. And I was living with my massively obese father. And we both just ate ourselves to oblivion. And that's when I started getting obese. I didn't blame my mother for dying when I was 8 years old. She couldn't help that. I didn't blame my father for not knowing how to teach me proper nutrition. He didn't know better. I don't blame him for letting me get fat. And I don't blame myself for what I did. Because blame is irrelevant. Blame does not fix the problem. All that matters is what needs to be done to fix the problem, and are you going to do it? That's the only thing that matters. Everything else, blame, shame, all of that, it's irrelevant. It does not solve the problem. It's easy for me to say, but let it go.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Okay. Hang on. It's right here. On my website, they can go to thewayofexcellence.com. Thewayofexcellence.com. Now, please put that in the show notes. If you go there, you will find several things. One, you will find the homepage introduces you to the system, gives you multiple ways to enter the process of getting started incorporating the system. My recommendation to you is that I told people, spend 15 minutes a day on yourself. Well, My system, you can see right here, and you'll see on the website, The Way of Excellence, nice color-coded chart. You can see how anal I am as a CPA when I put that together. Now, everything lines up. Now, there are videos on each one of the 20 parts of the system. Each video is 8 to 10 minutes. So if you want to get started on your 15 minutes a day, go to the website and every day watch one of those videos. Start with one, then two, then three, then four. The concepts are put in a specific order for a specific reason. They build on each other. And if you do that over the course of a month, less than a month, you will be introduced to the system. Then start reading some of my books. Again, all available for free. You can read them on the website or you can download them and put them on your tablet. And, you know, whatever you want to do. And I make it for free for a couple of reasons. One, because I can. It's not that I don't love money. Trust me, I do love money. But I am at a stage in my life where the mission has become more important than the money. You know, if somebody wants to hire me privately, you know, if you're an entrepreneur and you want to fly me in to come spend a week with you and get you started and get you going, I'll be more than happy to do that. But you don't have to. You know, if you and if you're someone who doesn't have two nickels to rub together, you can still go to the website and you can read the stuff and you can get the information and it can help you. You know, the mission is more important than the money. Now, at the very bottom of the website, there are two things. There's a link where you can email me if you have questions or if you want to email me or if you want to work together privately or if you just want to say thank you. And there's also a link below that to my sister website called the Million Pound Weight Loss Challenge. That is where I have all the information about healthy nutrition. And at some point, I'm probably going to combine the two websites and put them all together into one. But and on that website, you have to create an account. It's free, but you have to create an account, register to do it. And I did that because I wanted to keep trolls off the website. I didn't want to create it. You're very familiar with how the internet works. The last thing I wanted to do was create a place where people could go make fun of people trying to lose weight.
Thank you. Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health change makers to live your healthiest life ever.